ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Am I living a good life? What does that even mean? Has that question ever crossed your mind? And when? Sometimes we grapple with that when times are tough, but we may also muse about having a so-called purpose in life, even when things are running smoothly. So what do you think? Why does it even matter? Wherever you fall on this spectrum, to help us delve into this topic, welcome to Simon Kennedy Jewell, ethical counselor at the Ethics Centre in Sydney. Hi, Simon.
G'day, Beverly.
Now, Simon, normally we hear from you in the Ask Auntie Advice segment. You're one of our OG aunties, but
yes.
This time you have brought a different topic to our attention, and it's great to have you on board for this part of the show. Now, before we get into it, let's learn a little bit more about you and your interest in this subject. What's your relationship with a quote-unquote good life? What's the backstory there?
Well, I guess it is certainly very strongly related to my work with Ethical. So as listeners to Ask Auntie would know, I'm a volunteer counsellor with the Ethical Service, which is run by the Ethics Centre. And, and we basically take calls from people who are sort of working through or struggling with ethical dilemmas or decisions in their lives. And it really came through, it comes through for me in taking those calls that often underlying whatever the choice or decision that people are working through is this desire to make choices that are consistent with their sense of what it means to lead a good life and to be a good person. So, you know, whatever the dilemma might be, and there's a whole range of them across all sort of, you know, walks of life and scenarios, but there's this underlying sense, and even if it's not explicit, that people are really wrestling with this idea of how do I move forward in this situation in a way that reflects, you know, me being, you know, a good person in whatever way that means, what that means for me, and leading a good life. And that sort of really got me thinking about this sort of topic.
How interesting. That must be kind of reassuring to know that people who call in do actually want some guidance on, you know, doing the right thing, the good thing. Now, that's a voluntary role. What do you do in your day job, Simon?
So in my day job, actually, I work with the New South Wales government. I work in a group called the Energy Social Programs, and we basically manage a range of programs that help to support energy affordability for vulnerable households, low-income households, you know, and just sort of, you know, people across the community who would obviously be struggling with any cost of energy and other things in their lives at the moment. So I'm very lucky. I really do love my job.
So is that a part of living a good life for you, doing roles like that?
Oh, definitely. Look, I think I've always gravitated towards jobs that give me a sense of purpose, a sense of, you know, sort of vocation, if you like, you know, where I feel like I'm contributing to something, that I'm sort of making life better in some way. So there's been a sort of a history for me in that. I've got form in that regard, but certainly my current job, I'm very lucky, yeah.
And the volunteering piece of your life, has that also been with you for a while now?
Yeah. So I sort of started out very early in my 20s, really interested. I sort of did some volunteer work overseas. I was sort of interested in the whole world of community development and that sort of aid work. And so I went off and did a number of volunteer stints overseas, including South America and then the Solomon Islands. And that really planted a seed in that certainly those experiences marked for me what, you know, I would still reflect on as being some of the most sort of times in my life where I really felt that strong sense of alignment, of flow, of just really being, and I sort of, that term, my best self, like that they were high points. Mm. And certainly part of, I think, what made those experiences so powerful for me was that sort of volunteer dimension and what came with it, that sense of being surrounded by people who were contributing to a greater purpose for no other reason than, you know, for the value and the worth, the merit of that purpose. Mm. There was, you know, without the self-interest or personal gain, but just trying to achieve something collectively, you know, with a common good in mind. And there was something really powerful about that experience of mm-hmm. being in that sort of environment and contributing in that way. And so that certainly stayed with me. And so volunteering in some form has kind of always been part of sort of my go-to.
Okay. So we're talking about what a good life means to you. That's my guest, Simon Kennedy Jewell, an ethical counsellor at the Ethics Centre in Sydney. You may recognise him from our Ask Auntie advice segment, but Simon sort of jumped over into the front first part of the show for this session. Now, Simon, we've heard a lot about your own personal experiences, but I wonder if you can give a definition, a guiding point for us for what a good life means. How do you define that?
So, yeah, right. So, look, for me personally, it means something around a sense of alignment, you know, feeling like what I'm doing, you know, is makes sense and is sort of, yeah, a sense of alignment, a sense of satisfaction, sort of life satisfaction, and a sort of sense of sort of well-being. And it's interesting, and I'm kind of deliberately avoiding the word happiness per se, in that obviously being living a good life, I think generally, you know, I'm certainly more likely to be happy in that sense. But also sometimes I do recognise that there are times in my life where I would say I've certainly been living kind of my best life in the sense of, you know, really doing what gives me purpose and really doing what I sort of feel I need to be doing. But that didn't necessarily mean that I was sort of bouncing out of bed feeling like, you know, every day was my best day. And I'm a nod to all the parents out there, and 'cause certainly I think, you know, those times as a parent sometimes where you kind of know this is the life
sure.
you need to be living, but it's not always
not every day is
fun
chuckles
times.
And roses. Absolutely.
No. Yeah.
Let's take a call now, Simon. Tony in Roseville, welcome. What do you think about this question of living a good life?
Yeah, look, I think for me it's defined by the purpose that I have, which arrived in my life some 5 years ago, when a baby was born into our family with fairly severe cerebral palsy. I'd always been a fundraiser all my life, but this just gave me new direction. I wanted to succeed more in my business. I wanted to have more time to go to that family. I wanted to be able to donate money to the Cerebral Palsy Alliance and volunteer as much as I can and help them in their aims and direction.
And how do you, you know, we were just talking about the sense of satisfaction you get from that, but maybe every day itself is a bit of a struggle, a bit tough. Does that resonate with you, Tony?
Sorry, what was that again?
Well, we were just talking before we with Simon about how living a good life doesn't mean that every single day is rose-coloured and happy, that you're bouncing out of bed, but there is a sense of satisfaction even though there may be struggles. Can you relate to that?
Yeah, look, the struggles, if you just concentrate or think about those struggles, it's going to be no good. You have to think about overcoming and doing some good for a particular purpose. For me, it's around the family. It's about that child. It's about the charity. And just about everything I do centres around that. I mean, I knew what the word purpose meant. But now that this has happened, it's just magically defined that purpose. And everything I do in my life seems to centre around that. I don't have to sit down in a boardroom and say let's define a mission for our business, because it's right there in front of me.
Tony, I want to thank you so much for calling in. There's a lot of calls coming in, so I'm going to move on, and we're going to go straight to Mark in Lennox Head. Welcome to Life Matters, Mark. What did you want to say about this idea of living a good life?
For me, it seems quite simple. I think that there's only two commandments. The first one is to play, which is to enjoy the gift of life, I should say. It took 13.8 billion years to make these blobs. And the other one is to be kind to people and planet.
And how did you come to this realization, Mark?
I had stage 4 cancer in brain and lungs and had emergency brain surgery and woke up from the surgery realizing that life was pretty simple and that we actually make it way too complicated. And that seemed to me to be, I don't know, it just seemed to be, that those words seemed to be stuck in my head ever since. Plan be kind, plan be kind. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, it's nice and simple. And when you've had a brain injury, two commandments is nice and easy to remember.
Keep it simple, right?
Yeah.
That's brilliant, Mark. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing your view on what it takes to be a good life. Play and be kind are the two commandments that Mark holds close to his heart. Let's move straight to Ange in Narm, Melbourne. Welcome to Life Matters, Ange. What do you want to reflect on living a good life?
Oh, thanks. Look, it's really about moving beyond myself and my own worries. I've got lots of those at the moment as an older single renter with nothing much on the plate coming in each week. And so I decided to just bundle up everything I could in terms of my experience and my knowledge and start up a social enterprise that's geared to helping other older women like me who are struggling to, you know, get to retirement without falling off a housing cliff. But also other renters and investors out there who probably want to do some good in the world. So having that purpose now is creating the good life for myself that I was not in a good space for a couple of years, you know. Mm. Lots of difficulty in being largely unemployed. So finding that purpose has completely kind of regenerated my whole being. Mm-hmm. and it's tapping into deep values that I've held most of my life and the work I've done in my life, but I've got renewed purpose and it's not just about me. So that's kind of what makes the difference, I think.
That's brilliant to hear. Thank you so much, Ange, for calling in. We do have so many calls, so I'm going to quickly rip through to Joanne in Tamworth. Welcome to Life Matters, Joanne. What do you want to say about this topic?
Oh, hi. Look, hang on a minute. I'm just putting you on pause there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I have a physical disability. I woke up one day from an accident with a major physical disability. So for me, I'm not able to go to work. I'm not able to do a lot of things that most people do that they would find purpose with. But I have really good family, and I have exceptionally wonderful friends who are my chosen family, and they are the people who give me purpose, and they're the people who I say that when I give them time and I give them what they want and they give me what I need as well, that is leading a good, purposeful, gentle life. Yeah.
That's beautiful to hear, Joanne. And so it's interesting. Simon, I want to bring you in here at this point. Thank you for your call, Joanne. We're hearing different ideas of living a good life. I think there are some common threads, but it's interesting. I think there's a bit of a dichotomy between those looking outwards and those looking inwards in terms of how that good life manifests in their lives. What are you hearing in these calls?
Look, I think there's certainly some themes that I would recognise in terms of what we, you know, what comes through on ethical and the kind of questions that people are asking and work and struggling with. I mean, I think certainly that sense of focusing on things beyond one's immediate sort of needs or immediate challenges, I think is a common theme there. But also recognizing and honoring your kind of needs in a way. Like I think Joanne's call about just really recognizing that importance of, for her, of that support, those relationships. So it's kind of a both an inside and outside sort of thing, isn't it? You know, that we need to really have a sense of what we need, what are the fundamentals in our own life, our own personal circumstances that we need to thrive, that we need to feel whole and centered, as well as sort of something more in terms of going beyond that, you know, that you know, if we can get that sense of our space and where we're centered and go beyond that to the world and what's happening around us and making some sort of link to that bigger sort of universe in
some way. And a lot of people talked about work giving them a sense of purpose, but I wonder, you know, it's great if you can find meaning in your work, but I wonder a few things, whether there is an edge to putting too much store in getting, deriving purpose from your work. And kind of onto that also, I think there's a question of privilege here too as well, because not all of us are so lucky as to pursue jobs and careers where that higher purpose exists. You know, there's a lot of different factors, structural factors that might stop us from getting the qualifications or having the connections to get into that higher level where, you know, quote-unquote sense of purpose, a higher purpose might be there. So we need to acknowledge that, don't we, and make space for that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think kind of the whole sort of Maslow's principle sort of still applies here in that, you know, it's pretty hard to really think about your flourishing and you know, your sort of, you know, moral and philosophical development if you're struggling to put a roof over your head and feed yourself and your family. So I think there does need to be a recognition that I think as a community, as a society, you know, we either, you know, that structures around us, you know, whether it be the way the, you know, housing system works, the way the jobs and you know, work life works, that can either be conducive to helping to find a more purposeful, meaningful life, or, you know, it can be a barrier to that. And I think that that's a reality. And you know, and certainly I think it's perfectly, for a lot of people right now, probably listening to this conversation, you know, they think, you know, the whole question, I often feel like, underneath a lot of the discussion recently about Cozy Lives.
Yes, the cost of living, yep.
Yeah, sorry, I thought we were on Stop Everything, Beverly.
I'm here to translate.
Okay, good. So, you know, but I think definitely for me, underlying a lot of that discussion about cost of living at the moment is a sense that it's got to a point where it is actually challenging or inhibiting at a broader level, our ability as a community to find that meaning and thrive and flourish and focus on those things that give life meaning and purpose. And I think that's a real kind of concern. And I think it's part of where a lot of that anxiety comes from.
Absolutely. There's a very apt text on that topic that's just come in. And the texter says, living a good life has cost me. And as a result, I'm behind in the game of life. This year, I'm leaving behind the values I've held so I have a chance of getting ahead in this world. Wow. That's pretty stark. That's pretty grim to say that they're leaving behind their values. But clearly, there's been some kind of inflection point there. That's a tough one, Simon. I wonder if with your ethical hat on, if you could offer some kind of advice or encouragement where you can, like, understandably, you need, you know, the needs that are there, but still be able to hang on to some of those important values in some way.
Yeah. Well, I think for me, part of the point there is that it's certainly in my life, speaking to my experience, it's rare that all of the elements necessarily come together all at once, you know, in a nice, neat bundle, so that you've got that full sense that everything is working for me and my life. I've got that full sense of living a good life. But, you know, what you can find is, or what you can do, and you say the work situation isn't ideal, and there's challenges in that, or personal circumstances, etc., is perhaps try and focus on just one or two of these little elements that give you that sense of purpose or meaning. And just, even if it's a matter of squeezing them in around the edges, and just giving you, and you know, and certainly as we've talked about, volunteering has always been a little bit of that sort of lifeline for me, you know, where certainly at times in my life where other things didn't really feel like they were necessarily you know, going my way or aligned in the way that I would want them to be, having just that, you know, and even now, you know, when I popping down to the community garden on a Saturday morning and just spending a couple of hours with a group of people, or just people across the community who are there for no other reason, just to, you know, hopefully enjoy the sunshine, potter around and create something that is a community good, that just, I walk away, you know, floating, you know, feeling just like life is just that little bit better. So even if it is just a matter of squeezing something into your life, and I know with friends and people, it might be creativity, you know, for some people just having some outlet that gives them an opportunity to be creative in some way.
Yes, to that text, you know, hopefully it's not such a stark binary. Hopefully there is space to keep a little bit of, keep those values, hang on to them while you do understandably want to get ahead in the game of life, as they said. Simon, this topic which you brought to us is really, you know, kicking off the conversation. So well done there. You can call in on the ABC Listen app as well. And we're going to go to the Sunshine Coast where Robin's been waiting. Welcome to Life Matters, Robin. What do you want to say about living a good life?
Well, I guess that for me, I learned at a very young age that life can be very short and life can be very long. And when I was 17, I spent the next 7 years losing 5 very close family members quite unexpectedly. And, you know, and what I came to understand was that we have zero control over most things in life. We think we do, but in fact, I don't think we do. And it's just a circumstance of birth, again, which we have no control over, that often sets us up in a good life or less than a good life. So, you know, now I'm 61, so that's 44 years since I experienced those first deaths. I kind of like to plan as if I'm going to live forever, but live each day as if it's my last. And that really holds me firm to living in the moment. And for me, I think that's what makes a good life, is living in the moment.
Robin, I want to thank you so much for that call. And Simon, back to you, because Robin talked about things out of her control. And I think that taps into something that you're interested in talking about, which is Stoic principles, some of the philosophical underpinning to that. And figuring out what's in your control is very key to that, isn't it?
Absolutely. And Vivly, look, I knew it was only a matter of time before the RN Brains Trust sort of veered into philosophical territory. I knew we were going to go there. So, but look, I know for me, and certainly ethical is based around philosophical principles and grounded in, you know, a lot of these sort of notions. But look, and I think there are a range of sort of Stoic related principles and perspectives that are really relevant to this question. But one of those, as the caller has really just highlighted, is that sense of really being clear about what you control versus what you don't. And I think, you know, it's very clear. I think we can, without even realizing it, really spend a lot of time worrying about and getting stressed about things that we ultimately can't control. And you know, so that's a really worthwhile principle and something that's really useful to hang on to. The other thing that certainly, you know, in broad terms sort of comes out of that Stoic kind of concept is just being really mindful about the judgments and interpretations we place onto things that happen to us and you know, circumstances in our life, you know. So, you know, that idea of, you know, nothing's either good nor bad, but thinking makes it so. Now, obviously, you know, there are things that are good and bad, but we need to be really careful about when we are making those judgments and interpretations, you know, that sometimes we can assume something's, you know, place a judgment on something in a way that causes us emotional upset or you know, causes us to feel bad when it may just be something that's, you know, random, neutral or just, you know, just life.
That's so interesting, Simon. I wonder, you know, if you think that you are a bit locked into that thinking, what is an easier way to, I guess, become more self-aware of that and work on that a little bit. Do you have any advice on that front?
For me personally, meditation, reflection is part of my daily practice of sort of being in, you know, living a good life and holding that. And when I say meditation, I think meditation is a word that can be scary for a lot of people, you know, that it's sort of, oh, you know, I have to be able to sit in that lotus position for an hour and, you know, and have some mantra. I think meditation, in my sense of the word, is just some sort of practice that you can do and you know, and I think in a regular way that helps you to step away from the immediate reactive demands of what's happening in your life, you know, in that moment, day to day. So you're just a space that you're able to create for yourself physically and mentally each day that allows you to sort of really step back from that sense of being in that constant reactive mode. And in doing that over time, I've certainly found that seems to have contributed for me to just just being a bit more aware of when I'm assigning those judgments, when I'm making those interpretations, and being able to just hold that for a second and sort of, you know, think, is that really what's going on here? You know, is that person really being mean to me, or, you know, did they really?
And if they are, does it matter?
Well, that's right. That's right. And yeah, if they are, do I really care? You know, does that really matter to me? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We're talking about, what does it mean to live a good life? What is a life with purpose? What does it look like to you? And calling in from Victoria, Will, welcome to Life Matters. What do you want to tell us?
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, I totally agree with what everyone's saying. Alignment and workflow have been really important. I'm neurodivergent, ADHD with a splash of autism. And, I did the whole, you know, did the apprenticeship and all the work. And it wasn't until I started learning about myself and, you know, went through the divorce and lost everything, basically, and now I'm homeless. Just aligning myself with caring.
So, Will, it sounds like you've had a few rough patches that you're going through even now, but despite all that, you're feeling like you are living a good life?
Yeah, for sure. Like I work in disability, so I care for people. And when I'm not doing that, I have a small block of land that, you know, I got a bit of money out of the divorce and bought a block of land, and I just grow trees and I'm trying to grow veggies and stuff like that. And I think just being reconnected with the living world is something we need to do, so desperately. Well, that's what it's been for me anyway. So, being neurodivergent and not knowing that is really difficult. And I think that's a problem. And I've seen it through my family and through my kids going through, you know, who are neurodivergent. The systems just aren't there for them individually, and I think that's the biggest problem. We're just not knowing ourselves. Well, that's been my problem anyway. And yeah, growing up in poverty and trauma and all that kind of stuff makes it really hard. But I think just reconnecting, and, you know, and a lot of your people that have, you know, come in and spoke about stuff, you know, I just agree with all the stuff they've said. It's been great conversation.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in. We really appreciate it, and good luck to you. Let's go straight to Kathleen on Ngunnawal Country calling in. What do you want to say about living a good life, Kathleen?
Yes, hi. I just recently lost my mum, and as a celebrant, I actually do a lot of funerals for mums, and just about to conduct a funeral service now for a lovely mum. And basically the big thing that people realise as they're preparing for their mum's service is, gee, it's the little things that make the big difference. And I'm so very inspired by people who did have that focus in their lives, which was making sure that they had real and genuine and honest conversations and relationships, and did discover their joy with each and every person as an individual. And it's just a really beautiful thing to see people who are saying goodbye to their loved ones at any age, regardless of the age, having lived a really beautiful special life. And I think all of your callers and all of your messages has been, it doesn't matter, we can't control anything. So therefore, control what you are able to appreciate at any time. So I think that's been a really beautiful part to the conversation I've been listening to. And, yeah, it's a great privilege to be able to work with families through celebrating their loved ones in that way.
Well, Kathleen, thank you for calling in and being part of that conversation and adding your really quite special perspective as a funeral celebrant. Simon, it's interesting what Kathleen says in her reflections based on being an officiant at a funeral, is that we're not necessarily talking about living a big life, a big high-achieving life. That doesn't necessarily intersect with living a good life, does it?
No, not at all. And look, and I think that's another one of those sort of stoic principles is don't seek your sense of self-worth or validation from others. You know, find it within yourself and define it within yourself. That's a really clear message, I think, because to try and find that sense of worth or validation from others externally. I mean, obviously there are people that are trusted and friends where, you know, we do value that sense of their opinion, but in general, to sort of define your worth or value from the perspective of others is a real trap. Yeah.
Just talking about those simple acts, Bronwyn has texted to say, the simple joy of picking up rubbish in a street as I'm walking along is hard to explain. Feeling that this bit of rubbish isn't going into a waterway gives me great pleasure. It's often little things in life which give the most satisfaction. So that's from Bronwyn. And then over on the other side of the spectrum, I want to represent that as well, because that is a view that's coming through as well, Simon. Mm. Someone says, enough of all this navel gazing. I just do what needs to be done. Have you got a response to that?
Yeah, well, I would say that is, you know, fulfilling that caller's purpose, that sense. Because as I said, as I think, as we talked about earlier, to me, this idea of a meaningful life, of a good life, isn't necessarily what people would say as a happy life. And this is, another philosophical kind of perspective in all this is, Socrates, and there's a range of Socratic sort of elements to this discussion. But certainly in that philosophical sort of school, there is a really clear distinction between the idea of pleasure or happiness, versus, what, again, this is RN, so I think we can get a bit technical, but Socrates used the term eudaimonia, which was quite specifically not just about happiness, but it was about thriving or flourishing. But to me, to be working hard at something and to feel that that is your purpose and that is your focus can certainly be, a good life. I mean, obviously, again, as we're talking about some of those structural elements and cost of living and things, sometimes that means really working hard at something that you wouldn't choose to be doing. You know, it's not your choice. But hopefully if you can focus that effort on the idea of getting yourself to a better place, or that it's contributing to some broader goal, and whether that's something fundamental like, sort of security and, somewhere to live and all of those basic needs, that's a life of purpose. And sometimes that's as much purpose as we can manage at any given time.
And what about the texter who said enough of the navel gazing? I just do what needs to be done.
Oh,
fair enough.
Well, look, you do you. I certainly find a little bit of a dose of reflection, as I said, is helpful for me. But I know that's not the case for everyone. I know for a lot of people, there is a sense of just really enjoying that sense of being in that, just doing what needs to be done, and that real practical sense of focus. And I get that. I'm not going to, no judgment here.
Let's take another call from Adam. Adam's calling in from Queensland. Welcome to Life Matters, Adam. What do you want to say?
Yes, hello. Yeah, my little bit is that I think that people need to be able to have dreams and goals and be able to realise those goals. And I've
When I was 15, I was homeless, and I've had no support from family to get to where I am now. I'm now 60 and quite wealthy. I have property. I have six wonderful children. And I think that just to be able to have a dream and then hold on to a goal, most of my friends that haven't been able to get so far are the ones that never really had goals.
Right. And you feel like you are now living a good life or the good life or a bit of both?
I'd say I can look at every aspect of my life and see good. I'm a special needs teacher. I've been doing this I've been teaching for 20 years, but 8 years ago I found my feet working with the most disabled of children and coming into their lives and being a part. I have six wonderful children. Five of them are all grown up with university degrees and onwards, and one of them's only just a couple months old. So at 60, I have a newborn baby. I have a lovely property. I've got a wonderful dog, some chickens, and so much food. I've planted 70 fruit trees. I've got every imaginable fruit and vegetable you can think here, nuts. It's all happening.
Wow.
And ongoing free water from the three big water tanks. I've got a bore. I'm completely
Sounds like you are living in a little paradise there, Adam. Thank you so much for your call. I'm going to squeeze in one short final call from Janice, who's been waiting patiently. We've got about 2 minutes, Janice. Go ahead. Yeah. Let's talk about a good life.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Beverly. I'm going to be listening to this podcast over and over again and learn new things.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm 75% happy with my life. When I am not, is when it comes down to 50% is when I tell myself I should be doing this and should be doing that and should be taken out of the equation of life.
I love that. Why do you think that should be taken out?
Because that's when we undermine ourselves and undermine our abilities and undermine our own values.
Janice, I'm so glad that we got to fit that in because you really nailed it there with the call. And I also love being able to put a percentage on that.
Yes. I love that.
<It's> brilliant.
I'm trying.
Janice, appreciate your call. You are the final call, the lucky last. Simon, before we go, I want to hand it back to you. You brought this topic to us. It's been obviously a fascinating conversation. People have really responded to it. What are your final reflections for anybody listening and think, huh, you know what, maybe I should try to be a bit more conscious with what I do in my life, regardless of means, you know, this is an outlook. Mm. Where can they start?
Well, yeah, I think my last kind of reflection will be, let's strip it back, you know, away from any highfalutin philosophy and just think, you know, what are the things that for me give me meaning and joy and satisfaction? And even if most of your life feels a bit unsatisfactory and stuck, you know, let's be realistic, you know, we can't just drop everything and change jobs at a whim. Try to find just those one or two little things that give you joy, that give you meaning, that give you purpose. And again, as we talk about, for me, you know, certainly volunteering is being part of that. On a very practical level, just exercise and feeling a sense of physical well-being is really important for me in the way that helps me feel like my life's sort of doing okay. And meaningful relationships is another theme, I think, that has come through and whatever form that takes for you, but having and finding meaningful relationships around you.
Simon, thank you so much. We'll chat again, I'm sure, and Ask Auntie. Simon Kennedy-Jewell is an ethical counsellor at the Ethics Centre in Sydney. Free and independent helpline available to all. We will put a link on our website.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.